Good to be back here again with you folks. It's good to be here last night. Those of you that were not able to be here last night, you really missed a blessing. Hard for me to know, always hard to know sometimes how to get started and where to start. But I want to say, I thought as Brother Leroy was telling the story about how that they got mixed up going to Brother Dave's last night, and Brother Herb got behind the wrong vehicle and following the wrong vehicle. I fear that's what many people think, that they're following Christ, but the Christ that they think they're following is not the true Christ. I want to try to speak this morning on Christ. I like that all of him, and I really enjoyed the song service this morning. It just seemed like it was good, and everybody was singing out good. And that next to the last song we sang, I know. We don't sing, I know what I believe. We sing, I know whom I believed. I know whom I have believed. Which that's a quote right out of Scripture. Very important that we know who we believe. Now, I don't mean that I'm taking anything away from doctrine. Doctrine is very important. But if we know whom we have believed, then our doctrine will be correct. I've got a line here, a quote. I brought some things up here. I may couldn't remember everything, but I've got a line here out of a hymn, out of Gatsby's hymnal. Four lines. What think ye of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. If you do not think rightly of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to be wrong about a lot of things. Now, Brother Herb preached to us last night. Well, Brother Herb, matter of fact, he called me a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago, and wanted to know if I was going to be at this meeting, and he said if it was all right with the brethren here, and it was all right if the Lord led that way. He wanted me to try to preach on the humanity of Christ. I have been burdened in studying about that quite a bit here lately because of some certain issues that have come up. Normally in the preaching that I have done, I have focus more on the deity of Christ and showing the deity of Christ. And it's very important that we understand that Christ was God, but it is also just as important for us to know that he also was a man. The humanity of Christ. I was sitting there this morning, well, as I was sitting there on that pew, this little booklet Brother Leroy had laying up there. Well, I've read it before, but I thought I'm just going to turn and read. And this is a confession of faith that was put forth by the Baptist in 1646 in London, England. And this is what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Moses and the prophets wrote and the apostles preached, he is the Son of God." Brother Herb very aptly and by the grace of God brought that forth very powerfully last night, that he is the Son of God. "The brightness of his glory," etc. "By whom he made the world, who upholdeth and governeth all things that he hath made. Who also, when the fullness of time was come, was made of a woman of the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham and David, to wit, of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit coming down upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowing her, and he was also tempted as we are, yet without sin. That pretty much sums up what I want to try to say today. That's who Jesus Christ is. I was confronted several years ago with a statement that I heard a preacher make. I did not hear it in person, but I had previously had conversation with this particular minister. I listened to a sermon that he preached. It was off of the sermon audio. And he made a statement concerning Jesus Christ. He said that Jesus Christ had a body before he ever came to the earth, that he had a body in heaven, and that when he came to the earth, that Mary contributed nothing to his body, that he just passed through her just like water passing through a pipe. He said that just as Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, he was born in a borrowed womb, and that he was not really a human like we are. That pained me to hear that. Still pains me. It pains me even to repeat what he said. But that's not what the Bible says. And I want to try to show some things this morning about our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said when he wrote to Timothy in the 3rd chapter in the 16th verse, he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Without controversy, there's not even a question. We can't even, we don't even discuss that. That's not up for discussion. It is a mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, one of the things that people who deny that Jesus Christ actually had a human body, one of the arguments that they use is, they say that Christ appeared in the Old Testament and he appeared in bodily form, and they say that proves that he already had a body. Brother Herb mentioned a few places last night of Christ appearing in the Old Testament, but in certain places Christ did appear in bodily form in the Old Testament. I want to draw your attention to a particular place in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. And this is where Christ, and one of the places I believe that Christ, well, I'm certain, I say I believe it, I'm certain that he appeared here to Abraham. Abraham was sitting in the door of his tent, and he saw three men that were walking toward him. He met those men, brought them in and fed them, had conversation with them, and while he was having a conversation with them, he was told, one of these men told him that God was going to destroy Sodom. And, of course, that's where Abraham's nephew lived, Lot. And Abraham was very concerned for Lot, and he had a conversation there with that. But what happened there? Two of those men left, and the one man stayed there and conversed with Abraham. And I believe the one that stayed there and conversed with Abraham was the Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared as a man. That's called, some of the theologians call that a Christophany or a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And they say, well, now there it just goes to show that he had a body already because he appeared in bodily form in the Old Testament. Well, the other two men that were with him that day when he appeared to Abraham were angels. That's very clear. If you read that, I'm not going to take time to read that whole chapter, but if you'll go back and read that, the other two men that appeared with him were angels. There are other times that angels appeared in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and they always appeared in bodily form. Brother Rogers talked about that this morning. Some people have this idea about angels being like women, appearing as women. In the Bible, they always appeared in bodily form. But they did not actually have a body. Angels do not have an actual body, but they can appear that way. We know they don't have a body because the Bible tells us there in the book of Hebrews that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. They're spirits, but they can appear in bodily form. And that's what happened. I believe that when Jacob wrestled all night with that man that he wrestled with, I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ that he was wrestling with. And he appeared to have a body, but it was not a real body. It appeared as a body, but he did not as yet have a body. Jesus Christ has always existed. He is an eternal being, has always existed with the Father, but he did not exist. He did not have a human body. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on. I believe that when the three Hebrew children were cast into the furnace, and you remember that old heathen king, he looked into the furnace. He said, did not I cast three men into the furnace? But he said, I see four men walking. And he said, the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down and was with those men in the fiery furnace. But he appeared as a human, but he did not yet have a human body. That was to come later. But there were appearances, but this is what some people use, and they'll say, well, he appeared in bodily form, and that just proves that he already had a body. But here's where the body of Christ came into being. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, there was a young woman. You all know the story, a young woman named Mary. And an angel appeared to Mary, told her that she was highly favored, and he told her something that just boggled her mind. He said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Word there I want you to remember, conceive. Conceive in her womb, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now there's something that's very mysterious that happened here. Brother Herb and we all relate and recall this many times. There are great mysteries in the Bible that we cannot understand and explain in human terms. I can't explain eternity to you. Can you in your mind understand how that something never had a beginning? Never had a beginning. Can you understand something that's never going to have an end? I can't understand that. Because I can't understand it, does that mean that I can't believe it? By faith, I believe that God never had a beginning. He was always been. And He always will be. And I cannot explain how that someday that His people are going to be with Him, and they're going to be with Him forever. And there's never going to be an end. I can't understand that. My human mind cannot grasp that. But brethren, I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing here at Mount Zion Church in Crown Point, Indiana. I believe in eternity. I cannot explain to you how that the Lord Jesus Christ, who made everything that was made, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And not only were all things made by Him, but by Him all things consist. He is the one that upholds all things by the word of His power. If the Lord Jesus Christ, who is upholding today all things by the word of His power, if He was through His power for 1 second, this world would be in total chaos and wouldn't last a second if He didn't uphold it. And how I can understand that He came and was born as a little baby and came forth from Mary's womb. Well, I can't understand that. But I believe it. By faith, I believe it. I've often thought of how that old man felt when they took Jesus to the temple to offer the sacrifice. And that old man, you know, there's just something precious about a little baby, any little baby. And especially any of you have, I know you have children, and if you have grandchildren, I know when my oldest son was born, I named him after my dad. And I was not living in Arkansas at the time. And it was a few weeks later that my dad was able to come and visit and see his new grandson that was named after him. And I just couldn't wait to see my dad hold that little baby. And don't you like to, when you have a new grandson, there's something special, or grandchild, doesn't have to be a son, about holding that baby. Can you imagine how that old man felt when he took the baby in his arms? He knew who he was holding. He knew that was his Savior. I can't understand that. But that's when Jesus came to have a body, a human body. We go all the way back in the Bible to the book of Genesis, and the first mention that we have of how this was going to come to be is in the third chapter of Genesis. And it says in the third chapter of Genesis, when the Lord actually was speaking to the serpent, and He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman. Not the seed of a man, but the seed of a woman. This is the first promise that we have of the Savior. And this is the first hint we have of that covenant, that eternal covenant that had been made with God the Father. And it began to be revealed about how this covenant was going to be fulfilled. And then, later on, in this book of Genesis, we talk about that seed, that's very important, that seed. And when God spoke to Abraham, well, first when He called him out of the Ur of Chaldee, and He told him that in him were all the families of the earth be blessed. He was taught that was Christ was included in that. But later on in that 22nd chapter of Genesis, He told him, He said, and in thy seed shall all in thy seed, notice that, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That promise was renewed to Isaac, his son. God spoke to Isaac in the 26th chapter in the 4th verse and said to Isaac the same words. He said, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then in the 28th chapter of Genesis, he spoke those same words to Jacob, and he said in the 28th chapter, and he said concerning this seed in Galatians, in the 3rd chapter, he said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There was a seed, you see, and the Bible talks about Christ that came in the book of Hebrews. It said, and verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The seed, that's who Christ came. He was a man. Jesus came, he was God, but he was also man, and it was necessary that he be man. Now the Bible talked about him coming of the seed of the woman. It talked about him coming of the seed of Abraham, and it also talked about him coming of the seed of David in the book of 2 Chronicles. God made, 2 Samuel, God made a promise to David. He renewed that covenant that he had made. And God told him, David, that he would always have a son that would sit upon the throne of Israel. Now, you know what? David understood about kingdoms. We understand about kingdoms. We don't have that type of government here in the world, but most of the world in history past has had kingdoms, and kingdoms rose and kingdoms fell. If a kingdom would last for 100 or 150 years, that was normally a pretty long time for a kingdom to last, and then there would be another family that would take over the kingdom. But God told David that he would always have someone to sit upon his throne. David said this, he said, although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, though he make it not to grow. No less than, I think it's 15 or 16 times in the Gospels, Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. The Son of David. And Paul, when he was writing under the inspiration of the Scripture, or inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the book of Romans chapter 1, called himself a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus Christ was the seed of the woman. He was of the seed of Abraham. He was of the seed of David. All of this according to the flesh. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was a man. He had flesh and blood, just as you and I have. I tell you what, if he was not flesh and blood, this is the important thing. If Jesus Christ was not of flesh and blood, as you and I are, then you and I don't have a Savior. If he already had a body that existed before the world was ever made, you and I do not have a Savior. He was a man just as we are. He was a man that knew what it was to suffer in every way that we suffer. The difference in him was without sin, without sin. He knew what it was to be hungry. Now, if he had an eternal body, as some say that he had, he wouldn't have known what it was to be hungry, but he knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to have to lay down and rest, like you and I have to lay down and rest. He even, we don't know much about the boyhood of Jesus, but the Bible tells us that he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew up just like any other boy grows up because he had a body, just like you and I have a body. Now, here's a point that I want to make that's very important. Very important. In the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter, we quote this verse often. But when the fullness of the time was come, Brother Herb quoted this verse last night. You know, when God made that, back up just a minute, when God made that promise back in the 3rd chapter of Genesis and said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, I think that Eve thought that had already been fulfilled in her time, because in the 4th chapter, she had conceived and had a son, and she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And I think she thought maybe that promise was fulfilled. But that was not the time. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. I want to word that very, I want you to pay attention to how that's worded. And going back to what Brother Herb preached on last night, he didn't send him forth to become a son. He sent forth his son, his only begotten son. He sent forth his son made of a woman. Underline this next phrase, made under the law. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ, as some say, had a body before the world was ever made, then he could not have been made under the law. He could not have been made under the law. There's a phrase that is used, a legal phrase that is used, called ex fax. I can't even say it right. Ex fax. I can't get it in my mind. But what it means is that you cannot pass a law and make it retroactive. Let's just say, for instance, that where Brother Leroy lives there in Chicago, that he had lived there many years ago when there wasn't any houses around there, and he had chickens and cows in his backyard. Well, later on, there began to be other houses there, and they didn't like people having chickens and cows in their backyard, so they passed a law that said that it was illegal to have that in that town. Well, that law would go into effect, and if you moved in after that or whatever, and you decide you won't get horses, cows, and chickens, you couldn't do it because it's against the law. But it wouldn't be against the law for Leroy, because he had them before that law was ever passed. That's just a crude example of that. Jesus Christ could not have come under the law. He could not have bodily come under the law if he existed before the law was ever given. But it was necessary that he came under the law. Made of a woman, made under the law. Why was it necessary that he be made under the law? Well, a lot of places I could go to. I'll just read one here for right now. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus came to fulfill the law. That law of God is binding on every being. Every being, every human being, that law is binding on you. But there's not ever been a man that fulfilled that law. There's never been a man that kept the law of God except for one man. And that was the man, Christ Jesus. Remember, he said, he preached to a bunch of people that put a lot of stock in the law, especially the Pharisees. Oh, they were heavy on the law. And he came preaching in that Sermon on the Mount. And he said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. He said, I've come to fulfill. And he said, every jot and every tittle of the law, not one of it's going to be done away with. It's all going to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He's the only human being that ever lived that kept the law of God and kept it perfectly. He was righteous. He was a righteous man. Jesus was righteous as God because he was God, but he was also righteous as a man because he kept perfectly the law of God. And he fulfilled that law. And because that he fulfilled that law, that righteousness that he earned as a man, but also because he was God, and don't ask me to get too involved in this because it gets, my mind can't grasp all of it, but because he was God and because he was man, he fulfilled that law perfectly, and that righteousness that he fulfilled has been imputed to his people. But if he didn't keep the law, it couldn't be imputed to us. And if he was not made under the law, then he could not be subject to the law. But he was subject to the law of God, and he kept it every jot and every tittle. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. In the book of Hebrews, a lot said about the priesthood of Christ, and about priesthood in general. When this was written to people who were Hebrews, who understood all of those things concerning the Old Testament priesthood and the Old Testament laws. Before I get there, one thing I want to come back to in Hebrews chapter 2. I kind of quoted this verse a while ago. But I want to make a point, a word here that's very important. Book of Hebrews chapter 2, backing up a little bit into verse 10. For it became him, that is Jesus Christ, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. He that sanctifieth is Christ. They who are sanctified, that's us. And we're all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He could not call us brethren if we were not his kinsmen according to the flesh. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I, these are quotes out of the psalm, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Brothers and sisters, partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. There's another point I've just got to stop and make this. Through death. If Jesus Christ had an eternal body, he never could have died. He couldn't have died. Eternity can't die. But he died. The Bible says that he died on the cross. Because he was a man, he could die. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved. I want you to think a minute about that word, behooved. Some time back, I did a little study on that word. I got something here I printed out. I'm not going to read all this to you. You can look at it later if you want to. But the Greek word that is translated behooved there is used 35 times in the New Testament. And I want to show you one place in particular how that word is used. Well, two. I'm going to show you two. One of them, Brother Herb talked about last night. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, the same Greek word that is translated behooved in John chapter 13 and verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought, you're behooved to wash one another's feet. But in Luke, the 11th chapter, and this is Luke's account of when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And this is how Jesus taught them to pray. One of the lines that he said, and this is Luke's rendition of it, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted. The Greek word that is translated behooved in Hebrews is translated indebted. That is indebted. He says, we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. What that means in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him, he was indebted. He owed that. He owed that he be made like unto his brethren. Brother Herb talked about last night about how that Jesus came to fulfill the will of God. Everything that he did in accordance with the will of the Father. He said, I come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. It was the will of the Father that he be made like unto his brethren. He was indebted to God, and he was indebted to us because of the covenant relationship that he had taken us in that covenant, that he had taken the elect in and had covenanted and promised that he would provide the sacrifice that was needed for our sin. He was indebted. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. I don't feel like this morning that I've done adequate in my defense of this. I don't really feel like I have. And they may be, Brother Herb and some of the other brethren here, perhaps may have some things they want to add, and I invite that if they do. But I want to read you something that I wrote recently, and not because I don't ever write out a sermon or anything like that, but I want to write you something. I guess you would call this kind of a confession of faith for me. And it ought to be, and I think it is, for every child of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the eternally begotten Son of God, sent into the world, and that he was made of a woman, and was made in the likeness of men. Brother Herb, I didn't get over there. I just quickly, I wanted to say a word, one little thing about that scripture there in Philippians chapter 2. This is to dispel one of the arguments that the people who deny the humanity of Christ would make. In Philippians chapter 2, it said that, and being found, I won't read the whole thing, but being found in fashion as a man. And the people who deny the humanity of Christ, they say, yeah, he was just made as a man. He wasn't really a man, he just made as a man. Well, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 14, Herod, that old wicked king, that was rebuked by John the Baptist. He wanted to kill John. He wanted to kill John the Baptist. But it says, I'll get on the right page here. He says that he would have put him to death. He feared the multitude because they counted John as a prophet. They counted John as a prophet. Now, why did they count John as a prophet? Because he was a prophet. Jesus said that he was a prophet and much more than a prophet. They counted him as a prophet. That's the same way that it's meant here when it said that he was found in fashion as a man, because he was a man. But I believe that Jesus Christ was sent and made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That he bare our sins in his body. That he is a merciful and faithful high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That in his humanity he suffered and died on the cross. And after 3 days, his human body was resurrected. And after he had shown himself alive for 40 days to many witnesses, our Savior ascended bodily into heaven. There's a man in heaven today. Do you know that? There is a man that's in heaven today, and he's in heaven in the same body that he was in when he left this earth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. I have assurances from the Scripture and from His Spirit that bears witness with my spirit that I shall someday see my Savior, who is truly God and truly man. I will see the scars in His hands and in His feet, and where the spear pierced His side. And He will and does call me brother, because he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now that is who I believe in. Every desire and every hope that I have for deliverance from the curse and dominion of sin and to spend eternally bliss in heaven with my Father is based upon and placed upon this Jesus Christ. That is whom I believe. I thank you, brethren.